Or not in class, Sunday school classes, we would sometimes go around and have somebody read one of the verses. So if somebody wants to read Jeremiah 33:3, Brother Stephen will bring a microphone to you. Don't worry, we're not going to force anybody. So don't say, oh, I hope they don't call on me. We won't call on you, but if you want to, we need Jeremiah 33:3, Psalm 81:10, Ephesians 3:20-21. Anybody want to do Jeremiah 33:3? All right, right there. Graham's not even going to pull his Bible out. That's good.
Call unto me and I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not.
Show off. Now, the rest of you don't have to do that. You can read it from the pages. How about Psalm 81:10? Right there.
You got to find it first. Psalm 81:10. And the hills were covered with the shadow of it, and the boughs thereof were like the goodly cedars. Well, that's 80:10. I'm sorry.
Well, you they're all
verses.
Good, but 81:10 has a little bit more to do with prayer.
Okay, let's try 81:10. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it.
Amen. Promises of God. Okay, Ephesians 3:20-21. Oh, you got somebody back there? All right. Ephesians 3:20-21.
Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all the ages, world without end. Amen.
Amen. Well, Nathan's up here in the front. He said he'd do John 15:7 if you want to come back, Stephen. And then as soon as we can, we'll get somebody on the back row to do the next one. How about that? John 15:7, Brother Nathan. And then I'm going to be looking for Matthew 19:26 if anybody wants to find it. Oh, right there. In just a little bit, Caleb will get that one. And then we'll need Mark 9:23.
If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you.
Amen. All right. Brother Caleb's got Matthew 19:26.
Behold, Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible.
Amen. And Luke 11:9-10. Luke 11:9-10. Any brave soul? All right. You know that from memory, Stephen? You just, I don't either. Caleb's right there. He can.
Is that 9 and 10?
Yes.
And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened.
Amen. And then let's all look at Psalm 37:4. Psalms easy to find in the Old Testament. That'll be the last one, Brother Stephen. Psalm 37:4. And we'll just read it together. You find your place there, Psalm 37:4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Praise the Lord. It's oftentimes grouped with verse 3 before it. And let's go ahead and read it together as well. You ready? Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Praise the Lord for that. Well, we'll settle in. We're going to look about having power in prayer. After I gave the outline to Stephanie, I thought, well, maybe I would change it, but I was already off and doing something else by the time I thought about that. I don't mean power as in you're manipulating God. Nobody manipulates God. I've heard sometimes preachers, they'll say, well, I quoted these verses to God as if God didn't remember. I mean, when we quote prayer promises and verses like we just did, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things. There's two people in the equation, us and God. Who do you think's memory is bad? Well, God doesn't need reminded. We do. Knock and knock and knock and knock. Seek and seek and seek and ask and ask and ask. God knows his part. He never needs reminded, but it helps us. And so when I labeled it this and Stephanie typed it out for me, I later again thought maybe I should change it, but I just didn't go back. And how to have power in prayer. Again, I'm not trying to say that we manipulate. You don't twist God's arm. But we do want to be these people who have this close relationship with the Lord. And I think the longer we go in our Christian lives, as we look at this avenue of prayer, it's less like we thought about it when we were kids and more like we should think about it. And that is that prayer is this great communion with God. Yes, asking is. Prayer is asking. Prayer is saying, like a legal term, I pray the court. I mean, I ask the court this. Certainly that is it. But there's so much more in your prayer time than just the times when you say, Lord, would you please do this and give this and work here. There's a lot more time in that communion. And I think that when we find out what our prayer life is supposed to be, we'll dwell a lot more with the Lord than we will just trying to get our list read off. So, John chapter 15, somebody quoted or read verse number 7, but let's look at John, the Gospel of John in the New Testament, John chapter 15, when Jesus talks about the vine and abiding in him, and the verbiage is so intertwined and beautiful, and that's what I'm speaking of when we talk about this prayer life and prayer time of ours being more than just a list that you've got with 14 things down there. I'm praying for this and this and this and this. Yes, that's a part of it, and that is the true prayer part of asking. That's but there's so much more that we're just abiding with the Lord. So let's look at John chapter 15, verse number 4. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. We'll stop right there for now. We may go back to a part of it later. But did you notice that sort of just a little bit of a, not a fringe benefit, but a little bit of a, oh, by the way, you also get this. And maybe I'm noticing more than's there. And if I am, forgive me. But in verse number 7, it's almost like, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you shall ask whatever you will, and it shall be done unto you. But I almost feel as if that's not the thrust of the passage. The thrust of the passage is back there where he says, I want you to abide. And then this benefit of abiding in him is, oh yeah, by the way, if you abide in me and I abide in you, then you ask whatever you will and it'll be done. And so the goal and the desire of the Lord is for us to sow fellowship and abide with him, that our little prayer list that if you grew up in church that you had and you thought, well, how could I ever pray for an hour when you hear the song Sweet Hour of Prayer? And somebody says, well, I only have 7 things on my prayer list. I'm supposed to pray for mom and dad and my baby brother and this and this. And how would I make that last for an hour? Well, we don't make that last for an hour. But that reminding ourselves of who we're praying to, and that reminding ourselves of how good the Lord is, and that abiding in him, and that sticking around for a while, and some of those things that you don't even say for a bit, but you just sit there and you just meditate on how good the Lord is. And maybe you are out on your back deck, or you're somewhere out and you're looking at some beautiful scenery, and you're reminding yourself, that is the God that I serve. He did do that. And that's part of our prayer time, that meditation time. You understand that there's a lot of people who aren't even saved who talk about the benefit of meditation. We understand meditation doesn't do you any good unless you're meditating on the right thing, but there is an aspect of it that does do a body good to push apart from that and just settle down and meditate. But the reason is it's just robbing a little bit from what a prayer life is supposed to be. Just like there's principles in the Bible that as we follow, God works. Well, their principles in the Bible are true for an unsaved person just like they are for a saved person. But God's will is for everybody to be saved, and he wants them to employ them as a saved person. So the same it is when we meditate on the Lord and we abide in him and we think on him and we just commune with him. That is so much what God wants, and that's a great principle of Scripture for you and I as Christians. But then also, even people that are unsaved, they say, okay, I'm going to pull apart from everything for a little while and just gather my thoughts and think and meditate. There's some value to that just because it's sort of a knockoff of what meditation to the Lord and prayer to the Lord is supposed to be, if you want to put it that way. So we see here that we see this power comes through abiding in Christ. As we abide in him, and then we establish this intimate relationship with him. If you abide in me, and my words then abide in you. That's close. That's some holy language, meaning that I'm in him and he's in me. You understand that's the way we are. If you're saved, the Bible says you're baptized into Christ. So you are in him, but then we don't always live like it, correct? Sometimes even though we know him and we're kind of resorting back to some old ways before we did and employing some of those tactics that we shouldn't be anymore, but we keep them back there and we get into them sometimes. But the relationship with him is more than just relationship. Now it's this fellowship, and that's that abiding. So before we go down to the other couple points, I would just want to ask you, and I don't want you to answer out loud, but are you abiding in Christ? I mean, truly, are you? The other night, I woke up and couldn't get back to sleep, and so I was just upset, mad. You're like, oh, I got to get up early in the morning, and I got to do this. And then, you know, you tell all the things that you're upset about. And then I was reminded again, I've been reminded of this many, many times. I mean, I was reminded again, well, John, why don't you just pray? Maybe the Lord woke you up for that. Or maybe something you ate late woke you up, but while you're up, you might as well make some good of it. And as we think about this, if we're abiding in Christ, then those are the thoughts that should come to our mind. I like to say it came to my mind immediately, but I stood there or laid there rather than stewed and boiled and fried for a while. I was like, I can't get to sleep. And then finally it hit me. It's like, oh, well, why don't you just pray? Well, I'd like to get to a place where anytime you had a few moments, maybe you're waiting on an appointment. Maybe you got there early for something and you don't need to pick up your phone. You don't need to look through some things. You're just going to meditate on the Lord for a little while. Think how good God is and praise him for a bit and thank him for your family and thank him for your job and thank him for whatever. You're just gonna say, I've got 5 minutes to wait on somebody. What better thing to do with that 5 minutes than to say, Lord, you're awfully good to me. But see, those thoughts don't come to mind like that unless we are abiding in him. You see how sometimes we can go and be frustrated for five different times when we got somewhere early and we could have used that time in prayer, but we didn't because it really didn't even cross our mind. Well, it crosses our mind and actually stays on our mind when we abide in him and we have that intimate relationship with him. So we see that on point number one. But let's take you to the second one about Christ and his word. And I'd like for you to look at John chapter 1. It's a wonderful passage. It talks a lot about the deity of Christ, of course, in this passage. But it also talks about the him and his word. You're there in John 1:1. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So this, of course, was the living Word of God, Jesus Christ. The same was in the beginning with God. There's a lot of doctrine in these passages. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And so we see that Christ and his Word, they can't be separated. We see that in chapter number 14, I read this to you. And whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. A lot of just answering that Jesus does here. But the reason I took you to John chapter 1, verse number 1, 2, and 3 is that the Word of God, God the Word, the living Word, and then the written Word, and it's all connected together because it is Christ and His Word can't be separated. And so as we look at the promises that God gives, ask and it shall be given, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. You say, is that the words of the Lord? Yes. And we can't separate the living Word from the written Word hardly, because it's in the beginning that was the Word, the living Word of God, Jesus Christ. So we see that His Word and Him, they just can't be separated. We see the promises given to God, from God, are literally that, from Him. Let me give you this third one. We see that to pray in Matthew chapter 21, to pray, there's a certain way. If we want to be in God's will, we're supposed to pray. Because I believe that oftentimes, we've prayed and we just did it as an academic exercise. We did not do it like Matthew 21, 22 says for us to do it this way. I want you to find your place there and we'll look and see whether that's the way we're praying. Because a lot of times we pray and we don't expect anything to happen. Really, if we're honest, we don't. But let's look at verse number 22 of Matthew 21. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, the next word, believing, ye shall receive. To pray believing is God's will. Believing that He's going to do it. Faith is not just saying, oh, God can do whatever He wants. He can. I often say He could pick this building up, spin it three times, and put it back down on the same place He got up. He's not going to do it, but He could. But that's not faith. Faith is not believing that He could. It's trusting that He will. And we have that, we'll get it in just a little bit, but we have that aspect of we pray according to His will, but we pray in faith, believing that God is going to do these things. And I'm convinced that the one word in that verse 22 that we don't have oftentimes in our prayer is believing. Trusting. You've asked people before to do a favor for you, right? Based on their past performance, you had some level of confidence that they would perform it. Now, some people, you had no hope whatsoever that they would do it. You did. You ask just because somebody said, ask them, they'll help you. I have my doubts. I don't think they will. I know they won't, but you went ahead and asked. And usually on a person like that, you're right. It was just exactly like you thought. I started working at McDonald's before I was 16, so I didn't have my license. Mom and Dad had to sign a work permit. And so every time I would go back and forth, we would drive down on property or the little country roads, but couldn't go in town. And so I was dependent upon somebody to come get me every time. And so you always think your family's going to be there for you until they weren't. My dad was the worst. Many times he'd forget me. And those are the days before cell phones, or at least before there were some around, I'm sure, but we didn't have any. And so we also didn't have a home phone. So you just have to call Mamaw. She lived up the road. And then hopefully somebody would stop by sooner or later. She didn't have a car at that point. So she wasn't going to walk down. So I have had some times when I believed in people. And they let me down. But in believing is the way that God wants us to be praying to Him. Now again, we're going to get to about His will in the next point. But He wants us to pray in that fashion. And so I ask you already, if you're abiding in Christ. But the next question is, are you having faith? Or are we just checking off some academic boxes when we pray? I know I'm supposed to pray for this person, Pastor. I've got a family member that's unsaved, Pastor, so I'm supposed to pray for them. But are we really praying and believing God that He's going to work in their life and draw them and save them? Or are we just doing that because we know it's our Christian duty and I want to check off the box, oh, I've been praying for them for years. We should instead be praying in our prayer, believing ye shall receive. One last one before we leave tonight, but 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. First John different than the Gospel of John. First John back before Revelation. Well, Jude as well, but First John, Second John, Third John, Jude. But First John chapter 5, verse 14. And many other places this is found, but this is the one we want to use as our text for this evening. We have guidance in prayer in these four verses or so. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. If we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that you should pray for that. Pray for it. And so we see that, especially verse 14, 15, if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask. I know that in our humanity, which all of us have, all of it, but in our flesh, we think, wow, that's a tough thing to say because I don't want to put myself on the hook to say, whatsoever I ask. But we're not putting your reputation on the line. We're putting the Lord's. And so we understand that we are supposed to be praying for things according to His will. Now, I don't believe that you have to, like I used to, every prayer I prayed, I tried to, every prayer, Lord, according to Your will. But I believe it's more of a mindset that we're in. We just say, well, Lord, everything I want, only according to Your will. We have both of our girls, as you all know, are engaged, one to be married in October and one in December. And a lot of young people have prayed and prayed and prayed, and sometimes they were right with the Lord while they're praying. Other times they were just right enough to know they were supposed to pray, and maybe some people in this room as well prayed for people to get to marry them, and God didn't answer your prayer the way you wanted, and now you sit and you thank God that He didn't, because you would have been the biggest disaster that the world's ever seen. All of us have prayed some foolish prayers. We've prayed and sought things maybe we knew at the time that it wasn't really right, but we wanted to be able to report to somebody that we prayed. Or maybe, as I mentioned earlier in the lesson tonight about that communing with the Lord, we did not do much or any of that. And so since we didn't get in sync, a modern word, we didn't get in sync with God, we weren't even praying according to His will, because we were praying from a very fleshly, humanistic desire, almost like James when it says we desire, we consume it upon our own lusts. But we're supposed to pray according to His will. So I ask, are you abiding in Christ? Are you communing with Him? Are you spending that time in the morning, the evening, whenever it is you get alone with the Lord? Are you spending that time not asking, Lord, please supply this, and Lord, please guide that, and Lord, please help so-and-so to do this, and help my job this, and those are all good. We're supposed to pray about everything the Bible says. But before all that, are you communing? Are you just having that time where you're reminding yourself who in the world you're even coming to? This is God, the Creator. And I get to fellowship with Him and I get to commune with Him. So are you abiding? Number two, are you believing? Are you trusting? Are you putting yourself out there to say, Lord, I'm praying not, I know that You, I'm not saying that I know You could do this. Lord, I'm saying that You will. And I'm asking You to do it, with the caveat of the last one, and that is three, are we praying according to His will? Because let's face it, we have all prayed for folks that were sick and they're no longer with us. And if we didn't have the mindset and the spirit, little s, of us to say, Lord, I'm praying for this, but understanding as I pray that I don't know everything, and I'm asking for healing, and I'm asking for strength, and I'm asking for recovery. But then when they didn't have that, you kindly and reverently put your hands up and say, but Lord, your will be done. Because if I have faith enough to ask him, Lord, please, then I have to have faith in him enough to realize that sometimes I'm going to get it off. Because my brain is not going to assess the situation like it should be assessed. Now, I will tell you this. I have communed enough times with the Lord when I'm praying about certain things that I prayed at the end of my prayer time different than I prayed at the beginning. Because after you got alone with the Lord and you started rehearsing who he was and how powerful he was and what he could do and the things that I started off praying for, I realized I don't even want to pray for those anymore. I really want to see the Lord do a different direction here, and I'm trusting that that's just the Lord changing things because we're communing with him. So are you abiding? Truly are you? And are you believing? Not that he can, like a fairy tale, rubbing that genie lamp and pop it out and you get three wishes. And we're not talking about, wow, oh, he could do whatever. Are we praying believing? And then number three, are we praying according to his will? Father, I pray that you'd bless us tonight. I pray that we would be those people. And folks, I'd like to have us all just rehearse some things in our mind. I'm not going to tell you what to rehearse. But remind ourselves who our God is. He's that creator. He's that sustainer. What else is he? Will you think of a few attributes of the Lord right now? Are you rehearsing those things? I'm thinking of some things the Lord has done for me right now. Thinking about some things that he had mercy on me in. And as we rehearse those things to ourselves and to the Lord, but ourselves, we start to realize who he is. And then verbiage from John chapter 15 comes up. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will. We ought to be abiding. And then we ought to pray believing, trusting him, and then pray according to his will. As the ladies begin to play, if God's speaking to your heart, I invite you to come. You don't need to come to the altar. It's always a good spot. Some of the greatest things happened in my life have happened to the altar. But you don't need to come here. You can. But I do challenge everybody, to do some communing with the Lord right there where you are. Remembering who he is. Remembering what he holds together. Remembering what he's done for you. We sing about songs or sing songs about nothing being too hard for God. I believe one of the reasons we don't pray like we should is because we don't spend the time communing with him, reminding ourselves just of who this is, this God. If you're here tonight, you need to pray about anything, you need want somebody to pray with you, please make your way to the front and I'll be glad to meet you right down there. As we just go through another verse or two, if you're here and you're not sure that you're saved, would you just step out and come? Step out and make your way down one of these aisles and I'll meet you down here and show you from the scriptures how you can be certain. One more verse. You commune with the Lord, have a time with him. Amen. Thank you so much. You may look this way. Well, it's a joy to have each of you here tonight. A beautiful evening out there, and I hope that you will talk to a couple people who you didn't talk to on the way in and fellowship a little bit. Again, it's so good to have Brother Benjamin Gallion here with us and over for about a couple three weeks, Ben. All right. We're certainly glad he's here, home from the UK, doing a great job over there on the different church plants there with the Crown Heritage Trust, and praising the Lord for what God's using Ben to do. So hope that you'll get by and see him as well. And invite you again one last time before we leave on Saturday at 9:30 over in the gymnasium, the Family Life Center. If you can come, eat with us and give us 40 minutes or so, an hour, and or however long you can. And or if you just want to come and eat with us and take some Bible school flyers back to where your neighborhood is somewhere, then do whatever. But we'd love to see you Saturday morning. God bless you. You're dismissed.